Okay. Well, good evening, brethren. This message is going to kind of piggyback a little bit on what Brother Nathaniel talked about today. Today we're going to talk about our liberty. Our liberty in spirit and in truth. Brethren, I serve a God who has no limits. My God is not bound by space nor time. He is not bound to this city or that building or even in an image or an idol. My God is not limited in power, understanding, wisdom, or place. I serve a God who is truly not limited to resources or have any other limits. His strength, His wisdom, His all never depletes. My God has resources that never fails, nor it will ever diminish.
Amen.
So, brethren, what does all this mean? It means that we can truly worship our God in spirit and in truth. We have the liberty to go to the throne of God and worship Him. We have the liberty to gain access to the throne in a time of need. We have the liberty to worship God in the noonday or even in the darkest of nights. Our God is one of limitless power and liberties. Now we know of a truth, though, that we cannot use this liberty as an occasion to sin or as an occasion to the flesh.
Amen.
God forbid this. Because we have been released from the power of the flesh. So why would we even entertain the thought of going back into it? If we are even entertaining the thought of sin, then we are being deceived and we will not be walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
We have been freed from the bondage. Why would we want to go back to the leeks and the garlics of our past? Why would we want to go back into the grip of bondage that sin once held us in? There was an exceeding great and precious cost that redeemed us. Why would we want to trample upon that? Why would a sow want to return to the mire, to the mud? Why would a dog want to return to his vomit? We are the true worshipers of God, and now we are able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And this brings me to my text in John 4. We know this story. Jesus meets this woman at the well, and He's telling her all these great things of fountains of living water. He's proclaiming God and how now that the time has come that the true worshipers are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we'll pick up in verse 21 of verse 4 of chapter 4. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. This Jesus wants to just grab a hold of her attention and say, Believe me now. Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now just think about that thought for a minute. Here God is, all these years, all of these generations, they had to go to Jerusalem every year, multiple times a year, do all these sacrifices, do all these things that pertain to the law. And here Jesus is telling her that you don't have to go to this mountain anymore. You don't have to go to Jerusalem no more to worship God. Remember, they had to go through priests. Now He is opening up the veil. Jesus said, nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. It says the Father is seeking such to worship. And if we are well versed in the Old Testament, this is not a new thing. This truly isn't. Read through the Psalms. Read through some of David's Psalms. Read through some Malachi passages we're going to see here in a little bit. Read some of Isaiah. He's talking about the Gentiles being brought in. He's talking about worshiping him in the deepest thoughts of your heart. Sacrifices are not needed. This is not a new thought that Jesus put forth. But see, we will see now that all of these prophecies in the old was pointing to this time. And Jesus said it right here. But the hour cometh and now is.
Amen.
So Jesus is at the threshold. He's at the door of entering in, of bringing in the new covenant. This new covenant that we are going to be free from the letter of the law. We're going to be free from going to a high priest. We're going to be free from all these ties and all these ordinances. We're going to be free to worship God in spirit and in truth right where we are. When there are limits to something, then this is a type of bondage, isn't it? Never thought about that before, but it is. If you're limited in doing something, that's a type of bondage. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You are not free to do what you will. Through Jesus, though, we are dead to the law. We are dead to the law and made at liberty in God. Our heart's true desire now. Remember, this is a heart thing now. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It's getting down to the heart. Our heart's true desire is not to follow after the law, but after God Himself through the blood of Jesus Christ. God's desires are truly now our desires.
Amen.
And there is no limit in that. Because what God wants, I want. What God hates, I hate. We have been given the mind of Christ, and we've been given the heart of God, this new heart that is made of flesh, that is pliable in God's hands. And if you read that passage in Jeremiah 33, it talks about God pouring in a spirit, giving you a new heart, so you're what? Able to follow after Him. Because your desires are changing from being subjected to the flesh to being subjection to God. We've been given the mind of Christ and the heart of God, and we are free to follow after Him. No more with a bit and a bridle, but by His eye He will guide us. Because the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him. See, God's eyes are running to and fro, and now He can guide us with His eye. Now we do not have to go to Jerusalem anymore, nor do we have to go to this mountain. There is no city nor building that can contain our God. But now we can worship Him no matter where we are or what our circumstance is. The temple's gone. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. There's parts of the wall still there. There's that dome on the rock, and there's all these religious sites over there in Israel, but God's not in any of them. Them spaces are too limited. They're too small to hold our God. They say they found the place where Jesus was crucified. He's not there anymore. Death, hell, the grave was too limiting. It could not keep Jesus in bondage. It released Him from it. So how do we think that we can fit God into our little pigeonhole thoughts and wisdom and understanding? How do we think we can build an exclusive temple for God? The earth is His footstool. The universe is His throne. Man cannot contain God. Who does man think that he is, that he can determine where God dwells or that man can contain God in an image or in an idol. When they form their idols, they're making gods. They're forming gods in their own image after the creatures, after this or after that. God's not limited. He's not limited to that little space. Isaiah 66:1 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" It's not here. Yes, Solomon built a temple. He did. And I'm sure it was wonderfully beautiful. It was destroyed, though, wasn't it? They rebuilt it again. And guess what? It was destroyed again because it cannot contain God. This is not where he's at. God is too great and mighty to be seated in the temples of man. God is too big to dwell in the idols and the images of man. In Isaiah 44, it speaks of the foolishness of man in thinking that he can go and cut down a tree, worship it, pray unto it, declaring it to be his God. The idol that is carved from this tree has eyes that cannot see, a mouth that cannot speak, and ears that cannot hear. And the passage speaks of the lack of understanding of man to think that the same tree that he had cut down and made an idol out of, this is the same tree that he warms himself by the fire. This is the same tree that he cooks his food on the fire the remnant of the tree is fueling. This is foolishness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
This is foolishness in man thinking that he can control, that he can limit a God. Our God, mm-hmm. The God of the universe, the God of creation. This is the foolishness and subtlety of Satan, blinding the minds of those that believe not. Mm-hmm. And we're not even talking about, we may not be even talking about little graven images or graven idols. There's a lot of idols out there. There's a lot of idols out there that men have built up and has called their gods. And a lot of them are called false doctrines. Mm-hmm. False religions.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, this is bondage to an idea or the wisdom of man, that man in his own power, strength, wisdom, or money can manifest a god or golden image that is able to deliver him from anything. Remember the prophets of Baal? Yeah, Elijah goes, yeah, call down. He mocks him even. Digs a trench, fills it with water. He calls on the one true God, and what happens? The fire consumes the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because their gods are false. And Elijah's God, my God, our God, is true.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot contain him. God is too great for man's folly and man's limitations. Jesus himself spoke of a time of the temple being destroyed, and he himself would build it in 3 days. This comes in John 2:19. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews are thinking, "Well, this temple, it took us 40 some years to build, and you're going to do it in 3 days? I want to see this." Then said the Jews, 40 and 6 years was the temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Those around him assumed that he was speaking of the physical temple, the temple that they had made for God. But Jesus was speaking of a greater temple, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
One made without hands. Now his temple, his body, was prepared, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But not for a worship place, but for a sacrifice. He was speaking of the temple of his body, and that in 3 days that he would raise it up again. This is a foreshadow of a time to come when the worshipers will have the liberty to worship in spirit and in truth. And we know that the physical earthly temple was destroyed in 70 AD and it was never rebuilt. Men are trying. I've read stories and articles and stuff that men are wanting to rebuild it again. It's just an empty building. The book of Malachi prophesies of a time when the Gentiles shall worship the God of the Jews. Malachi 1:11. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles and in every place. It's not just saying Jerusalem, but in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and pure offering, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. And you can see many prophecies in the Old Testament of God bringing in the Gentiles, God bringing in the other nations. This is the liberty that the Gentiles and other nations were not afforded to. The Jews had no dealings with other nations. The other nations, the Gentiles, the heathens could not worship the Jews' God. They couldn't. Because the Jews were not allowed to mix with them. The Jews had no dealings with other nations. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was only reserved for the Jews and the Jews alone. God took this small band of people and took it to himself. But again, God is not limited. No, he knew what he was doing. God does not make mistakes and thinks, oh, I've missed all the rest of these people. No. Everything that God was doing prior to Christ was a foreshadow of greater things to come. So now in Christ, the middle wall of partition has been broken down, allowing Gentiles, allowing the heathens to not only have access to God, but also be brought together with the Jews. And now we are of Abraham's seed through faith. Jesus has given freedom to all men, no matter what clan, no matter what skin color, no matter what bloodline, bond nor free, Scythian nor Greek, the freedom to worship the one true God in the Spirit and in truth.
Amen.
That's the liberty that we have now, that God, that Jesus has ushered in. Brethren, Jesus truly brought together God and truly brought together all men. Mm-hmm. For we all are of the circumcision made without hands, as in 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Every man everywhere can pray to God himself without doubting. Doubting is a form of bondage. It is a form of limiting the power of something. It truly is. And when we can come to our God in a free spirit, with liberty and freedom to ask whatever we will, then we know that God, as long as we're doing it in faith and of a pure heart, then we know that God is going to hear us. And he's going to act on that prayer. It might not be exactly, the answer might not be exactly what we want. We might have to keep that thorn in the flesh. But God's grace is sufficient for us. And God will strengthen us in our weaknesses. So even our weaknesses are not limiting us. But it makes us stronger in God. Our God is limitless. He has brought matter from nothing. And he is able to do what he wills. It is God who lifts up and it is God who casts down. He is able to perform what he has promised, and there is truly liberty in believing in and trusting in someone who is truly and all the time fully faithful. I mean, just look at the miracles done in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Things that are contrary to nature. Things that man could not have done in himself because of man's limited power. God done it. The letter of the law. The letter of the law is also in part bondage. You are required to follow the whole or not receive the reward. Right? If you trespass even one thing against the law, then you have trespassed the whole thing. Every man, all men, every man has fallen short of the glory of God. That is the limiting power of the flesh. We're limited to the flesh because we cannot serve God in the flesh. Because the flesh and the spirit are what? Contrary to each other. They're enemies. We were once enemies of God. In bondage to sin and in bondage to death under the subjection of the flesh. The law is holy. It is just and it is good. But it does bind men to it. 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth. But the Spirit gives what? It giveth life, freedom, liberty. Again, this liberty is not an occasion to the flesh. It is an access to God Himself so we can worship God and serve Him. If we are to live by the letter of the law, then we are bound to fulfill all the law. And we know that through the law, no man can please God because it is weak through the flesh. But we are not of the law anymore. We have been made righteous through it by the propitiation that was made. Now we have access through faith to God, a God who wills that all men be saved. Our God, again, is not a limited God and only picking and choosing who He wants. But Christ died for the whole world. For all men. The letter of the law was instituted to reveal man's sin, and it was also a shadow of the one to come. It had limits. It was bound in itself. Now, in Christ, the new covenant has been ushered in, not by the letter, but by the death of the perfect sacrifice. Now we have liberty in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 3:17 it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So through all this, through everything I've just said, what can we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Again, there is no warfare that is able to thwart our God. There is no weapons that is able to destroy our God. If God be for us, who can be against us? When we are led by the captain of our salvation, not even a hair on our head will perish. Satan has no place in us, and not even death has any power over us anymore. What greater liberty is there? We are no more servants, but now we are heirs of God. Think about that. A servant has no right to the inheritance. A slave has no right to lands and this and this and this and this. But a child does. A child knows. A child knows what his father is doing. Romans 8:14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are the sons of God.
Amen.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Do you see that? For we have not received again the spirit of bondage again unto fear. We do not have to fear anymore going before a thrice holy God.
Amen.
Because we have put on Christ. And as we have put on Christ, then we are made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Those who are in bondage receive no inheritance. Ephesians 2:13. But now, this is a present tense. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Christ brought peace to God and to man. Peace with God. Peace with our Father through the blood of Christ. We are brought into the sheepfold. We are brought into the inheritance. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. We have treasures in heaven that moth and rust doth not corrupt, nor thieves break in and steal. We are now the children of God, and we cry out, Abba, Father, instead of saying, stand back, stand back. Mm-hmm. Now we are children, and he's saying, come unto me, all ye.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What more liberty is there? God has set each and every person in the times of their habitation so that they might feel after him, and happily they might find him. God wants to be found of all men. He does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he wills that every man repents. Death equates to bondage. Why would God have sent his only begotten Son to save those who would take the pleasure and take the pleasure in their deaths? God does not take the pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants all men to live, and he has given the most precious gift ever given, his only begotten Son. What more could he have given for his children? What more could he have given for our liberties? Now, as the earthly temple has been destroyed, it's not there anymore. Now, God's people are his temple. Remember, God's not limited. God can be here, God can be there, God can be in you, and you, and you, and you. And he also encompasses the heavens. In 2 Corinthians 6:15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He's Amen. Dwelling in each and every one of us. He, Jesus, and the Spirit dwell within his people, and we dwell within him. For in him we live and move, and we have our being. We are called to come out from among them and be his people. Come out from among the bondage of corruption of this world and of the flesh. Come out from among the dead and live among the living. We now have the liberty to worship, to serve, and receive of God all the benefits and all the promises that he has given us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God is able to work in us through us. He's able to work in us and through us to perform what He willeth. He is able to bless us now as well as in a time to come. We have the liberty in knowing that the time to come for the children of God has no chains. It has no crying, no weeping, nor pain, nor suffering. It has no doors. It has no fire, no worms that cannot be killed off. The doors are not shut. It has nothing that defiles, nor anything that is contrary to God. Amen. That is what God has reserved for His children. Brethren, the time to come for the children of God is perfect peace and harmony in those who worship God in spirit and in truth. And in closing, let us remember that this liberty that we have has been purchased with the most precious of bloods, and it was imputed unto us. We did not deserve it, nor did we earn it. We have been given liberty from all that has blinded us from God before, and we are at liberty to the one who sits on the throne. And let me leave us with a couple last verses. Revelation 21, it says, "And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need for the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
Amen.
And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it." Then we skip down to verse 27. "And there shall in no wise enter it into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life."
Amen.
Not even bound to time and space in what is to come. Not even bound to a day and a night. But no, the Lamb is the light thereof. Free to walk about without being persecuted, without being accosted by Satan himself. This is the true and the perfect and the conclusion of our liberties. And it's just the beginning. Is there any questions or comments or corrections?
Amen. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. This is really good to think about. And Jesus is saying that you don't a physical lamb that's cut up or offered and burnt doesn't benefit a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
That was all for a purpose. It was pointing toward the Lamb of God who really was there now. And so now the true worshipers worship a spiritual. They worship. He's a spirit, so they worship in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it just takes the limitations away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the heart.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't have to be in a certain place or a certain way. It's just true worship.
You don't have to go find a goat with no blemishes or a sheep of a year old or whatever the criteria was for the sacrifices. You don't have to do it in a certain way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to the temple once a year. God is not limited by man's devices, not limited by our limited understanding and knowledge. But God sees the ending from the beginning to the end. And this whole plan has been purposed in Christ Jesus.
So all they had was a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this tendency to just hold on to the shadow. Mm-hmm. And miss what it was pointing to.
Mm-hmm.
So they got down, the Pharisees got down to the details of how you have to do everything, but missed what it was pointing to.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where we are now. We're in this liberty where we can truly worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
That verse you read in Malachi about incense being offered. Every place was it?
Everywhere, every place,
yeah,
everywhere.
It wasn't in the temple.
In every place.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be concerned with our physical, earthly lamps running out of oil. They had to keep that. Remember, they had that lamp. They had to keep continually burning. You know, this was someone's job to keep this thing burning. It truly was. We don't have to worry about that no more. But we do have this physical lamp. We read in Matthew 25, the virgins. We have these vessels that we have to keep filled up. But again, God is not limited. We keep bringing our earthly vessel, which is our body, which is our servitude, to God, and He will keep filling it up as long as we keep coming to Him. God is not limited in power or resources.
Amen.
He's got an abundant supply of oils. It'll never cease.
I like to comment about how unbelief is limited. And also, when we do have that new heart, that change, that is when we are able to be led by His eye.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea of being filled up, or the reason we can have such freedom and just be led by His eye is because we're looking towards Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we get filled up. That's when we get all this freedom to serve by our willingness, because we see how great He is. But I, you know, this idea that doubt is limiting,
mm-hmm.
and unbelief is limiting. So go above your faith.
Mm-hmm.
That stuck out to me too, and made me think about that professor that I had who studied the Bible for years and years, and yet he didn't believe in that it was true, and how much he missed in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't accept that God could be real.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty.
Well, I thank you for all your attention. Shall we stand, and Brother Tim, you have a closing prayer?